Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance is what keeps you from giving out under the pressure of trials. In today's study, I'll be listing several examples of different ways people tend to fail to persevere, different ways to cave under the pressure of trials. We all have our different ways of caving. I would urge you, as you listen, to pick out the one or two that tend to be the way it works in your life. Which of these ways of caving in do you need to be most on your guard against? Years ago, I heard Chuck Swindoll preach about what he called watermelon seed Christians. If you spit a watermelon seed out on the table and you press your thumb on there, as soon as it reaches a certain amount of pressure, that thing will shoot out, right, from under the pressure. And he said a lot of Christians are like that when you get pressured. They do fine for a while. They can hang in there up to a point. But as soon as the pressure reaches a certain level, they're gone. They quit. Their strength gives out. The resolve to continue through the problem just sort of disintegrates and they give up. Or they get angry. Or they reward themselves with some sinful thing because they feel like, you know, I deserve this because of how I'm being treated. Or they start questioning God's goodness or God's love or God's power. Of those different ways of quitting under the pressure, which in your life tends to be the biggest problem? When pressure starts to bear down on you and you find that you cave in your life, what does caving in look like? How often does it happen? How often do you find that you don't get the benefits of reaching your goals that you have in life because you fall short of reaching them? You cave in, you give out before you reach the goals because you don't have perseverance. Perseverance is a precious commodity, isn't it? It's a precious thing. And if you want more of it, you are in the right place at the right time, because that's exactly what James is going to teach us this morning. We've changed our interpretation of trials now. Now we interpret them as a test of faith. But how do I pass the test? The answer is in verse 3. The NIV translates the beginning of verse 3, because you know. The word because isn't actually there. It's just knowing. Literally, it's knowing. Consider it pure joy whenever you face any and every kind of trial. How? By knowing something. It's through knowledge that you can do this. You've got to keep some fact in mind. This is where changing your beliefs come in. You already changed our perspective, our interpretation. Now he's changing our beliefs. To pass the test, you have to know some things as true. You have to know them to be true. James is not calling us here to some silly, mindless optimism that's not grounded in any actual truth. That's not what's happening. This isn't the power of positive thinking. This isn't, you know, that my glass is half full instead of half empty. You know, I get hit by a car. Well, at least it wasn't a bus. Count it all joy. You know, it's not that. It's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, interpret the suffering itself as good and beneficial and valuable because something that you know is true. You say, what is it? What is this fact that I know? You know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. That piece of knowledge. Now, can you see here how everything James is saying here stands or falls based on how much you value perseverance? Because if you don't value perseverance, this isn't going to work. Right? If your trainer, you're working out, and your trainer says, consider it pure joy when you feel that burn, because that means you're going to be in shape soon. Well, that motivates some people and it doesn't motivate other people. Why? Because some people really value being in shape. Other people just don't care that much about it. And so it's not worth the burn. If he said, consider it pure joy when you feel that burn, because once you feel that burn, I'll give you $1 million. Well, that might motivate a few more people, because there's a lot of people that value $1 million very highly, right? And so they could actually consider pure joy. Oh, I feel the burn. Wow, I'm getting the million. Right? So when James tells us to consider our suffering pure joy because we know that we're going to get perseverance out of the deal, that gets us nowhere until we highly value perseverance, which is a problem because we don't just naturally value that. It's just one of those words. A lot of us, we see that it's just a word. It's just a Bible word. We open up our Bible, we see it, and it's like perseverance. It's just like, you know, this term we've heard in the church, and we don't see it and treasure it and think, oh, I want that. Oh, I want that so much. But James is going to help us with that. He's going to help us get there to where we really want it. He's going to show us what an incalculable treasure perseverance really is. And we'll see this in weeks to come, but I'll show you a little bit today. Before we look at what James says, let me just define perseverance so we know what we're talking about. I think you could define it this way. Perseverance is just very simply the ability to outlast your trial. The ability to outlast your trial. Trials are temporary. For the Christian, all trials are temporary things, right? They come, they stay for a while, they go away. And our goal is to still be standing when the trial goes away. Perseverance, don't think of perseverance as just one act of fortitude or strength in this particular situation. It's a character thing. It's deep down in your character, something that manifests itself in all kinds of situations in life, all kinds of different kinds of trials. No matter what the trial, what the test, something familiar, something new, something you saw coming, something unexpected, something big, something small, whatever, all of it, whatever it is, and however long it lasts, you're still standing at the end of it. Your steadfastness and your resolve outlasts the trial. That's perseverance. And it is a priceless treasure because life without it is a nightmare. Life without perseverance is miserable because everything ends in failure. Almost everything ends in failure. People who lack perseverance will hang in there for a while, but at some point they'll buckle and have some sinful response. There are some people who have no perseverance at all. It only takes like a half a second for them to revert to some sinful response. Other people can hang in there a little longer, others a little longer. But what really matters is if you can stand firm all the way to the end of the trial without caving in. And we all have different ways of caving in, like I said at the beginning of the sermon. There's different forms of caving in. For some people, it's escape. That's how they cave in. If a conversation gets too hard, they just walk out of the room. They're the kind of people that just, it's just getting too hard, they just turn around and walk away. They got to escape. If a problem at their church gets too hard, they just leave the church. They just leave. If work gets too hard, they quit their job. School gets hard, they drop out. Relationship gets hard, they cut it off. Marriage gets hard, get a separation. They can deal with problems up to a point, but once they reach that tipping point, they just run. They just run away. And if they can't run physically, they'll run emotionally. They'll just withdraw into some kind of cocoon of self-pity. Escape. For others, caving in means reverting to anger. Right? They just, instead of continuing in patience, they just give in to the impulse to become mad. They can't make it all the way through a trial without getting angry. For others, caving in means doubting God. That's how they cave in. They just start questioning God's wisdom, or they start questioning God's goodness, or His kindness, or His love. And then what happens? What do we do when we question God? Then the next thing we do, we start backing away from God, and we start backing off of prayer and backing away from Scripture. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to pray. It's not even working anyway. He's not listening to me anyway. He's not answering my prayers. Why should I pray? And I start giving myself reasons not to come to church that I wouldn't have given myself before. But now I'm backing off of church. I'm backing off of serving in ministry. I'm backing away from my prayer group. I don't want to hear these people talking about how blessed they are, and I'm going through this trouble. And I keep backing off, and pretty soon there's a level of coldness in my relationship with God that would have alarmed me in the early days. And now I'm getting used to it. Standing firm to the end means you get all the way through that dark valley and you get to the other side without cooling off in your pursuit of God. Another form of caving in is resorting to some earthly distraction or comfort. You know, I'm suffering so much, I deserve this pleasure. And you try to reward yourself with some sinful thing to make up for what you're having to suffer. I deserve this. Another way people give in is just by quitting. You know, things get too hard, you just quit. Life is hard for those people. Life is hard for people who lack perseverance because you can't ever finish anything. You know, if you're a quitter, you just can't. You got your whole house is full of half-finished projects that never get done. Nothing ever gets done. You just make resolutions and you can't follow through. You decide to go on a diet, lasts a couple of weeks. You say you're going to get it in shape, 4 or 5 trips to the gym, peters out. All the books in your library have bookmarks right around chapter 2. You know, you just can't get through it. Your Bible, you've read Genesis like 10 times more than any other book in the Bible because all these times you decide you're going to read it cover to cover. It's just as far as you make it. A good portion of your life is spent just staring at hard jobs, right? You're just like, wow, that's a lot of laundry. Look at all that. That is, I should be doing that. I should be doing it. I will do that. I will do that laundry. Wow, that is a lot of laundry. And you just can't get going, you know, in your mind you're saying, okay, go, start. Up, off the couch. Come on. Come on. And your body's just saying, not moving. And so your life just becomes one giant truckload of guilt that you carry around all the time because you got all this stuff you're supposed to be doing. You're not doing any of it. You're not getting anywhere. You see your backpack. Oh, homework. I should be doing my homework. I got this project. My semester project is due next week. I should start it, you know. I should study for that test. I should write that paper. I should do those labs. I should do those worksheets. I wonder what's on TV. You know? And you can't get going. You can't. When we lack perseverance, we'd rather quit than follow through. The whole, when you think about that for a second, the whole reason we quit instead of following through is to make life easier, right? Isn't that the point of laziness? To make your life easier. It doesn't. It doesn't make it. It makes it miserable. It makes it harder. You always have all this mountain of work you're supposed to be doing, and you just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and you're not making any progress. And instead of feeling refreshed and rejuvenated because all this rest you're supposedly getting, you don't. You feel overwhelmed, more and more overwhelmed, even though you're not doing anything. Not only that, but you have constant relationship problems. You don't ever have any deep friendships because I guarantee, no matter how perfect the friendship, things will get hard at some point. And quitters, when those things get hard, they just bail on the relationship. They just throw it in the trash. Your marriage is always in the toilet because you can't make it through any kind of conflict without getting angry. Life is hard for people who lack perseverance, especially Christians who lack perseverance, because if you're a Christian and you lack perseverance, guess what? Your worst enemy gets control of your life. Because the devil who hates you, who wants to destroy you, he despises you, he can steer your life wherever he wants just by attaching some hardship to wherever direction you're trying to go. So your worst enemy now has the ability to steer you where he wants you to go. That's not a good situation. And when you lack perseverance, you can't reach your goals. You can't get things done. You can't outlast your trials. They always win. You always lose. You always end up quitting. You always end up running away or getting discouraged or getting angry. That's all hard, but none of that's even the worst part. The worst part has to do with your eternal destiny.
When you buckle under the pressure of a trial, which kind of buckling are you most prone to? Running away? Giving up? Getting angry? Self-pity? Rewarding yourself with some sin or distraction? Questioning God's goodness or love or power? Can you think of the last time you responded to trouble in one of those ways? What would it look like the next time you suffer in a similar trial to persevere? And remember, the goal here is not to make you feel guilty about your lack of perseverance. It's not about feeling guilty. It's about learning to value perseverance more. James' purpose is to elevate the value of perseverance in your heart, because the more you treasure that virtue, the more you say, oh, how I wish I had more perseverance. The more you do that, the easier it will be for you to consider it pure joy when you face trials, because every trial is an opportunity to increase your perseverance.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.